Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Are there crosses too heavy to carry, and burdens too heavy to bear? Are there heartaches and tears and anguish, and no one who seems to care? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Has the storm overshadowed your sunshine, and life lost attraction for you? Have the dreams that you cherished been broken? Is your soul filled with bitterness too? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Gary. That was a blessing. Glad that there's a Jesus that can help us. You're going to need him. In the shadows, you're going to need Jesus. You look to him. If you're saved, you'll find him. Well, it's a privilege to stand here in this platform. These are hallowed grounds right around here. And I've felt the presence of the Lord many, many times. Sometimes I'd get up here to preach, and the Lord would maybe be 40 foot from me, but every now and then I'd get up and preach and he'd be there. So that's, you can preach with the Lord's help, and if he's not helping, you can't do much preaching. I can speak, but I can't preach without the Lord helping. But anyway, good to be here. Let me say just a word about the tent-wide city revival up there. First mistake you ever made in your life, isn't it, Brother Gary? That's okay. I'm glad other people make mistakes, and I don't make them all on others. It helps me out. But anyway, it's a citywide tent revival. And Dr. John Bishop, one of the finest preachers in America. I mean, he'll bless your heart. He'll be there. Now, you be here tonight. I want you to hear Brother Sales. He's got a great testimony. And then tomorrow night, Dr. Clarence Sexton will be there. And then at the tent revival tonight, John Bishop will be there, Dr. John Bishop. And then tomorrow night and Tuesday night, Dr. Clarence Sexton, pastor of the Temple Baptist Church, King Knoxville, founder of Crown College, great man of God, will be there Monday. And now the doctor told him bed rest for 2 weeks and then surgery, but he's coming tomorrow night. So that's the last count I had. And then Dr. Bishop will be there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And the tent is located in Bristol on the interstate. Let's see, that's 81. Go on up past, you'll see the big cross and the tent there. Go on up and turn left and come down Island Road to the tent. We'd be glad to have you 7 o'clock each night. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm going to preach a message I've preached here before. I was talking to Brother Harry Vickers a while ago, and he said he had about 3,500 messages on computer. The mine are stacked up everywhere. They're not on computer. I've got them stacked up everywhere. I don't know how many. I've got hundreds and thousands of of messages. But this is what the Lord, I believe, as far as I know, wants me to preach this morning. 2 Kings chapter 2 If you'll turn in your Bible, page 422 in your old Schofield Reference Bible. How many brought your Bible? Just wave your Bible. That's a good sight, and the devil hates that. You know what? Second Kings. Let's start about verse 7. And now the time has come for Elijah to be caught up in the whirlwind into heaven. And here Elisha and Elijah are on their way to the river, Jordan. And verse 7, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry land. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, and notice, if thou see me when I am taken up from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back to the and stood by the bank of the river of the Jordan. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. He said, preacher, do you really believe all this happened? I sure do. If God's in it, in the beginning, if you believe Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens, you have no trouble believing the rest of it, see. And if it's in the Bible, I believe it, whether I understand it or not. And then in verse 15, when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came out to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. So let's ask the Lord's blessing upon his word. And I want to try to be a help to you and a blessing to you this morning, a challenge to you. That's my desire, to be that you know. And let's pray. Father, I pray, dear God, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Lord, make him, I pray that you'd make the Lord God of Elijah real to us here this morning through the precious Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Lord, help us. We know people in this vast crowd, Lord, have needs that they wouldn't even tell anybody. You know all about them. And I pray that you'd meet needs here today. Lord, satisfy the hungry heart, I pray, the heart that's seeking you. And help me, Lord, I can't preach without you. I confess that. Lord, would you help me? Give me liberty. Help me to be faithful to the word and lift up Jesus and his precious word today. Speak to hearts. Bless our pastor and those with him down in Chile today. And to use them this week and bring them back safely to us. Blessing the tent crusade up in Bristol this week. And bless Brother Seals who preaches tonight. Now, Lord, help this unworthy servant. Lord, I need your help. Meet our needs. May Jesus be exalted. May people be helped through the word of God today. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Now the time had come for Elijah to be taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. He had told his assistant pastor, Elisha, he said, you stay here. This is in verse 2. The Lord wants me to go to Bethel. And Elisha said, I believe I'll just go along with you. And then at Bethel, Elijah said in verse 4, he said, the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And Elijah said, you wait here. But Elisha said, I believe I'll just go along, tag along. Then they got at Jericho, the river Jericho. And Elijah said in verse 6, you wait, Arthur, Jericho, not River Jordan. There I'm seeing, but Gary, you're not the only one who makes a mistake. Hey, you get in the pulpit, you're going to make some mistakes sometime. You don't ever make any, I'm sure. except that you made that first big mistake, that first breath you took. That was the biggest mistake you ever made, probably. Maybe somebody would believe that. But anyway, let's go back. Now, where was I before? Got the Jordan River mixed up here. Well, anyway, they were at the Jordan, and he said, you wait. The Lord sent me to Jordan. He was at Jericho, and the Lord sent me to Jordan. At a third time, Elisha said, if you don't mind, I believe I'll just go along with you. And when they got to the Jordan, 50 members of the ministerial association stood there watching. And Elijah, when he whacked the waters, and then Elijah and Elisha walked across, and it was on, notice, not muddy water, knee-deep mud, but they walked across on dry land. That proves God did it. And then Elijah said, Elisha, ask what I shall do unto thee. And Elisha, without hesitation, he said, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, now you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me, it'll be so. But if you don't see me, it will not be so. All of a sudden, a chariot and horses of fire swooped down from God out of heaven, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Isn't that wonderful, how the power of our God? And then in verse 12, it says, Elisha saw it. That was the key. He kept his own eyes on Elijah, and he saw it. So he got the power of Elijah to fall on him. And we today, I don't have time to get into this, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's the answer as we go down through life. Oh, just keep looking to Jesus. He can help you with every problem that comes up. Let me move on. I don't want to get on that. But Elijah, then he tore off his outer garment and picked up Elijah's mantle and walked to the banks of the Jordan, and he whacked the water and asked the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And I want to speak to you on that thought today. And when the waters opened up there now, those 50 members of the ministerial assassination said, my, we've got rid of one fundamental Baptist preacher, and we've got another one on our hands. And for our consideration this morning, I want us to think for just a few minutes on that question couched right in the middle of verse 14, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You ask the question yourself in your life, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Let's think of this question. First of all, three things about this question. First of all, it's a vital question. This is one of the most vital questions you'll ever face. You don't know when, folks, you're going to need the Lord God of Elijah. You don't know. And one of the few things certain about life is that it's very, very, very uncertain. And let me give you a few reasons why it's a vital, vital question. First of all, because of the uncertainty of health. You may be in good health right now, taking vitamins and on a proper diet. Don't go out and get too many Whoppers and Big Macs, you know. And you may exercise, and that's all that's good. And watching your weight, and all that's good. But in your body, right now, in your body, there may be a disease germ incubating right now in your body that will rob you of your health and maybe of your life. We just don't know. You're not going to have good health forever. I used to kick off on the football field in college, and now I can't hardly get up up the steps in here to preach to you. But you'll not have that good health forever. And when they wheel you into an operating room, I'll guarantee you, it's good to know Elijah's God. Then also, it's a vital question because of the uncertainty of friends. I heard Tom Malone one time up in Temple Baptist in Kent, great, one of the greatest preachers of the last century, say, you are fortunate if you make that many real friends in life that'll stick with you. Then he held up, he said, you're probably fortunate if you have that many friends that'll stick with you regardless of what happens to you in your life. And there may come a time when it seems like all of your friends have forsaken you or betrayed you. And in that hour of betrayal, you'll need to know the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Then also, It's a vital question because the uncertainty of possessions. You may have a good job, may drive a fine car, and have a beautiful home, and listen, and you may be secure and lose it all in 24 hours. It happens every day. Right as we're sitting here this morning, across America, 8.2 of our fellow men are out of jobs. That estimated somewhere between 30 and 40 million of our people are out of work across America. You know the trouble that brings when mom and dad's out of work. And then in Luke 12, we know the story of the rich man where he the Bible said he fared sumptuously. His crops were so prospered and abundant that he said to himself, he said, "So you're smarter than these other guys, you know. You're getting ahead. And you know how to manage things better than they do." And he said, "Why don't you just tear down your barns and build bigger barns?" And so just, he said, the rich man said, "So take it easy. Just eat, drink, and be merry." And a lot of people are saying that across America. You know what God said to that man he called a fool? He said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Go to Job 1. Job was probably the godliest man that ever walked on the face of the earth. God had blessed him as a rich man. But Job, in less than 24 hours, Job lost everything that he had. You might say, "Well, Preacher Lashley, I'm getting along pretty good, not having much trouble." It reminds me of the man I told you about. I'm sure you've heard me tell it before. Man jumped off the 10-story building. As he passed the third story down, man stuck out his head and he said, "So far, so good." And in times of reversal, it's good to know the Lord God of Elijah. Now, folks, you better get to know him. You're going to need to know him. You need to know him. Then it's a vital question because of the uncertainty of life. One time, a number of years ago, one of our bus captains drove a truck right across the line into Virginia, went in the office, sat down, and dropped dead of a heart attack like that. And there was a girl working at the bank in Kingsport, Tennessee, and had a cerebral hemorrhage and died in just a few hours. And I preached to this church down in Knoxville, a Fundamental Baptist pastor in Knoxville. He had a son in college, and he was preparing for the mission field. And 3 days before his graduation, his life was snuffed out in a car accident. One summer, between my junior and senior years in college, I was in Alaska on a student mission trip up there, and I picked up the phone one morning. My pastor inside of Tennessee said, he said, "Brother Gene, you're going to have to come home. Your father just got killed in a car accident." And my father, we walked everywhere we met. My father never drove a car in his life, and I couldn't understand it. I have more to say some other time about that. You've heard me. But anyway, Proverbs 27:1. And by the way, I came back from Alaska. There was a big volcano eruption, and then we got on the plane and we went. There was just one section of that wasn't clouds in the sky, and he went through that, and it grounded the plane for 3 or 4 days. I'd have missed my father's funeral, but I got on the plane and came home to the funeral of the best dad a boy ever had. You just don't know. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor." Folks, our life is as a vapor. It's here and it's gone. It appeareth for a little time, the Bible says, and then vanisheth away. The uncertainty of life makes this question one of vital importance. And also, let me see where I'm going. Well, I've still got plenty of time. It is a prayerful, not only a vital question, it's a prayerful question. In reality, when he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Elisha was saying, "O God, who was with Elijah, be with me in the same way." Elisha was a faithful servant of Elijah for many years. He had the privilege of seeing this mighty prophet. Elijah is one of my heroes. Great man, full of God, great miracles. And Elisha saw him for years do all those mighty works with the power of God and the blessing of God on. Now, Elijah was gone, and he needed this same God. Now, folks, I was just thinking, as I thought a while ago, Mays Jackson's gone. A man came to this church, and God used him in a great way. Dr. B.R. Lakin's gone. Mays Jackson's gone. Harold Sattler, the great man of God, is gone. John R. Rice is gone. Dr. Bob Jones is gone. Jack Hiles is gone. These great men that God, the Lord God of Elijah, used in a great way. And we need this same God today. We need him. In your ministry here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, you know what your need is? The Lord God of Elijah to breathe on your efforts, on your bus route, on your Sunday school class, on anything you do. You need the Lord God of Elijah. And the same God who answered Elijah's prayers must be with us if we get answers to prayer. We need the Lord, folks. James 4:16-18, just don't turn to it, let me read it. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Notice, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man certain, a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And Elijah's God is still on the throne today. He can still hear and answer the prayers of his people. I've told you, everything I'm telling you this morning, I've told you before. I'm just going to repeat it. The Lord wants me. But 11 or 12 years ago, I was here around this pulpit, and I thought, Lord, I won't be around this church very much longer. But Lord, would you send revival? And I was thinking about the revival I saw when I was a boy, when the church was full, and people were getting saved, and people were getting blessed, and the blessing of God, people around looking in the windows, and God, just the breath of God. I thought that with church would be full, we'd see people saved and all like that. And I said, Lord, let me see revival one more time. But you know what he did? Now, this wasn't what I prayed for. The doctor picked up the phone one night as my doctor, and Johnson said, Preacher Lashley, I'm sorry to tell you, you have prostate cancer. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. You that's been there, you know how it is. And I'm already in bed when he called and just reading. And so I got up, put my clothes on, down here to McDonald's, read a newspaper, and got a cup of coffee. Might have got a, honey, I don't, you don't listen to this. Maybe you got one of those pies out there. And I turned it over to the Lord, and the Lord gave me peace about it. My wife said she couldn't hardly go to sleep that night. But anyway, I finally, the Lord gave me peace about it. And I thought, Lord, it's in your hands. My times are in your hands. If you want me to preach longer, here I'm preaching today, hallelujah. If you want me to preach longer, you'll have to help me. And just to make a long story short, every day as I crossed in front of the Tennessee Eastman, crossed 36, went to the cancer center for my radiation there in Kingsport, every day, as I've told you before, I turned on the chuck wagon game. If you don't like that, that's sorry. I'm sorry about that. But anyway. And everybody's his own flavor. But anyway, I turned one song on. I have a precious friend, Jesus Christ my Lord. I can e'er depend on his precious word. When the clouds hang low or the skies are fair, I'm safe, I know, for my Lord is there. And every day, 5 weeks, I went to every day for 5 days and 5 weeks. I'd go across there, went in, and took radiation. And every day, the Holy Spirit of God met me in that car when I turned the chuck wagon gang on. And I have a precious friend, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Thank God for Jesus this morning. Thank God for Jesus. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad the Lord sent cancer to me. I've never had a spiritual experience like that in my life that I had when I was driving to get my radiation for my cancer. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord God of Elijah, folks, is still on the throne. He's not dead today. And he can still hear the prayers if you're born again and if you're trying to live right and live for Jesus and get in the Word, and if you're praying, trying to walk, God will still hear your prayers this morning. Now, you say, Brother Lash, you get everything? Yes. No. But I've got enough answers to know that God does hear and answer prayer. Well, the same God who gave him courage to stand true must help us not to compromise in this day of apostasy. People are all, everywhere I go, people are saying that things are awful. And they are. Things are bad. Things are bad today. Things are bad. It's bad in the day when Elijah's day. When old Ahab had everybody worshiping Baal. It was bad in Israel. There's been bad times down through the earth. But God doesn't change. God doesn't change. And we have socialism taking over our country. Apostasy is riddling our churches. Unsustainable debt is in our country and our states and our municipalities. I don't know what we're going to do about it. I don't know. And ungodliness on every hand, nudity, immorality, and homosexuality and drunkenness. But all, listen, we can stand true in spite of what's going on today. And by the way, I just may go up to Chick-fil-A Wednesday. And now don't tell Sister Leslie, and get me a chicken biscuit. Now, I'm not advertising you to go, but I may slip up there Wednesday. They're having a nationwide, Brother Governor Huckabee is inviting everybody to go that day and support. Listen, we're in a bad shape today. They've turned against the Lord God of Elijah. That's our problem. That's our problem. And we won't, getting rid of Obama, I'm sorry about that, it's not the answer to your problems. The answer to your problem, and getting Romney in there is not the answer to your problem either. If the Lord God of Elijah doesn't move and send revival, there's no hope for America. There's no hope. Well, let me move on. I got 12 minutes and hadn't got half my sermon here. But I'll tell you this. Folks, you just make up your mind, regardless how bad the things get, that I need to decide this, I'm going to stand for the book and the God of this book, regardless what the liberals and the ungodly crowd know. Gay crowd and everybody else. We're going to stand for God. I've been preaching this blessed old book for almost 60 years now. And I have not knowingly, now I've made mistakes. Some things I've done I wish I had done, but I haven't knowingly dipped the flag. I have not knowingly compromised this old book. And folks, we need to just stand true for God. Unless the Lord God of Elijah gives us courage to stand, listen. If he doesn't, you are going to compromise and sell out for a bowl of denominational pottage, or you'll go in a friendly church direction, or in a contemporary church direction with their birdbath music. That's what it is. That's what it is. And we need to make up our mind that we'll never sell out and compromise. Just go ahead and make up your mind. You're just not going to do it. Settle it this morning. Then another thing. We need, just let me look at my, I'm going to turn my watch over. No, I better not do that. We need the same God who provided for Elijah to provide for our needs. And he can do it. Our God can do it. When Elijah told Ahab that it wasn't going to rain until I say so, he stuck the key to the heavens in his pocket, and God hit him by the brook Cherith. And every morning the ravens would fly in with his breakfast, and every evening for the supper. In the morning he'd bring ham biscuits from Hardee's, and Bob, he may have bring some of that chicken from Cracker Barrel there on, flew in with some of that on. Now you won't find that in the King James. That's in the Texas Receptus, in the original, you'll find that. But the Lord God of Elijah is still able to meet our needs. Now, I'm just going to have to work my way through this mess. I'm not going to get done today. But I'm just going to tell you how God's worked in my life. That's all I can say. And he's no respecter of persons. And mother, when I was a boy, the old timers believed God and hear and answer prayer. I don't always get my prayers through, but I believe he does. I'm glad he hadn't answered some of the prayers I prayed, just to be frank with you. But 25, 30 years ago, I've told you this, about a couple of them used to come to this church and moved up in Kingsport, right near a good church, started going there. And I went by to visit them. And this is a blessing, my old man, tell it. And as I was going to leave, she said, "Preacher Lassie, we've been married 10 years, and we want to have a baby." And it scared me to death. I'd never prayed for anybody to, Lord, give them a baby. But I knew God could do it, so I said, "Well, I'll be glad to pray." And I got down on my knees and prayed, "Lord, you've opened the wombs down through the years of God's people and given them babies. And I ask you, if it's your will, give this couple a child that can raise for the glory of God." Well, I went on out of there, and in a few more months, got a call back there in the office. And she called and said, "Tell Preacher Lashley to come up and visit me." And she was up in the OB ward up there. And I went in. She said, "God heard and answered your prayers." And then about 10 or 12 years later, I was in Hinnon Path Hospital, ran into her, and she said, "Preacher Lashley, you remember the child you prayed for? And the Lord gave us that boy." And I said, "Yes." "He got saved and baptized last Sunday night." And then on my retirement, but she died, and on my retirement Sunday here, the father brought that boy, and he was there in the sitting right four, 5 or 6 rows back there in a suit, nice suit. He graduated from East Tennessee State University and was a businessman in Johnson City. The Lord does hear and answer prayer. And then also, this happened 10, 15 years ago, somewhere along there. We were going to have a big day here. We'd made all kind of elaborate plans, and I believe shooting for 1,000 or something like that. And I went over below the moon down, got down on my knees, and looking out at the water there, and was praying for Lord to bless this day. And all of a sudden, started raining, and I saw all those raindrops on the water. And you know, 19 drops of rain keeps 20 Baptists at home, you know. And I thought, there goes my big day. Now, folks, now I'm telling you, you might not believe this, but I'm going to tell you anyway because it happened. I looked, I was on my knees. I saw all that rain. I thought, boy, my big day is ruined. And I said, "Lord, one day your servant prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And I said, Lord, if it be your will, would you not let it rain till after Sunday school this morning?" Now, listen, I looked after I got up off my knees, looked out there, and there's no raindrops on that water. I came on back, and God gave us a big day, and souls were saved. It's good to be able to pray. Now, you say, "Preacher, that was just an accident." Well, it may have been. Let me go ahead and believe that the Lord answered my prayer. If you don't mind, would you mind that? Then you say, "Well, Preacher, what recently, how the Lord helped you?" Well, you know the story. My son had to come home from the mission field. And my wife and I, it crushed us. We raised him for the glory of God. And he had 2 master's degrees from Bob Jones University. And I thought when he came home that he just trained to be serve the Lord. And I thought, well, he'll have to go to work at Walmart. That's what I was thinking. But then one day, and I've told you this before, as I said, I've told you everything I've done before. But I'm telling you again because the Lord wants me to tell you. I was thinking about my son, and the Lord gave me a scripture verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Listen to this, it may affect you sometime. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God made it personal to me. I wept and I said, "Lord, how can I give thanks for my son having to come home from the mission field and get a divorce?" And I believe the Lord helped me right there. I felt by faith. And I said, "Well, Lord, by faith, I thank you for my son's divorce." I didn't know how the Lord was going to work it out, but I thanked him for it. And you know what? In two weeks after I told the Lord that, I didn't call Ron Comfort, my good friend, try to get him in over there. I didn't call anybody try to get him in anywhere. But Clarence Sexton called me. And said, "Gene, I heard about your son having come home to the field." He said, "I know him. I know about his 2 degrees and Bob Jones. Know he had a good record, a good testimony. Know your testimony." He said, "Bring him down." I took him down, and he hired him to teach missions.
had a great year this year. Looked, and I asked him the other day, I said, Tori, what about you? He said, Daddy, I love it. That's just like Jesus said. Going back in a few days to teach again another year. Well, I've still got a few more minutes. But let me say this. Elijah's God can still provide for our needs today. Never lose that. And listen, I don't care what your needs are this morning. God still hears and answers prayer. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. Will answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. And God will help you. I don't know how the Lord's going to help you. I don't know what. He might help you through the problem, or he might move the problem out. But if you're God's child and you look to him, he's going to help you some way. He won't let you down. I might let you down. God will never let his children down. Hallelujah. Well, then also, we need Elijah's God when it come time to cross the River Jordan. And the payoff of the old time religion is it's not only good enough to live by, it's good enough to die by. Do you know that? And just as God did not fail Elijah at the Jordan River, this same God will not fail us when we stand at death's chilly Jordan. He won't stay. Listen, he'll be there. Listen, just as a chariot of fire took Elijah to heaven, I believe the Lord will send a convoy of angels to transport us on over to glory. All he won't forsake is when I come to the river at the ending of the day, when I come to the river at the end, and why does it go, Brother Gary? I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. When the morning I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I didn't intend to sing that. Honey, forgive me. I used to sing when I was pastor here. My wife and children all put their heads under the pew when I'd sing. wouldn't know a note of music to come down the aisle there, but I got a song in my heart when it comes to Jesus. Well, I don't know. Well, Jody preaches on past 12. I used to try to quit at 12. But I'm feeling pretty good today, though. Listen, been at this thing 60 years and 80. Listen, the Lord gave me a new lease. Got these two new knees here. Hallelujah. And I'm going to give the devil a few more licks the rest of my days on this earth. Let me go to the end of this sermon here. Well, you say, preacher, where can I find power from the Lord God of Elijah for my situation? It's at the place of full surrender to him. I fought the call to preach for 4 years because I was timid and shy. But one night down in southern Mississippi, junior year during spring practice there, football practice. At midnight, the Lord, I'd fought to call, preach 4 years. I just didn't think I could do it. Still can't without the Lord's help. But the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. And I believe maybe that might have been the last time the Lord had dealt with me. I don't know. It could have been. It might have been. But I'm glad that night when I woke up and felt this urge to be a preacher returned to me. Every now and then all those 4 years, every night I felt like God's calling me to preach. I got up, went out on the college golf course, got on my knees, and surrendered to the Lord God of Elijah. And then I was shy and bashful, but the Lord started using me a little bit for his glory. And if you need the power of the Lord God of Elijah on your Sunday school class, on your bus route, on problems you have, maybe a problem child or health problems or financial problems, just turn it over. If you're his child, turn it over to him. Say, Lord, I've got to have your help. And I'll guarantee you help will be on the way. This morning, I'd say, I want to be filled with the spirit of the Lord God of Elijah. And that I'd rather die. Listen, folks, some of you need to come and say, Lord, I'd rather die as to live without the power of God on my life. We need to know how to get, one of the greatest things is to know how to get a prayer through to God.
And we need, listen, you need to know how to get a prayer through. You need the power of the Lord God of Elijah. And I'm going to ask you, if you, for a bus captain, listen, the bus ministry days are not over. It's over only if we don't pay the price and believe God. Look to heaven, Lord, you've got to bless my bus router. All is in vain, and it is. Or my Sunday school class. If you'll bring God in, if you'll live right and read, stick your nose in the Word of God every day, read and pray and walk in a straight walk and cry out to God to help you, He'll help you with your bus route, your Sunday school class. He'll help us with anything. Maybe that problem, that need you have, we're going to have an altar call in just a few moments. Come and ask the Lord for the power of the Lord God of Elijah to rest upon you. He's still on the throne. He still hears and answers prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Brother Gary, let's, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just come and sing, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give." And if you, as we just start playing, when you find the number there, if the Lord has spoken to your heart and you say, "Preacher, there's a need in my life. Maybe it's a need of a Sunday school teacher or a bus captain, or maybe you have a child or some great need, some great problem," just come and get in this altar this morning. Teacher, come and ask God to put the power of the Lord God of Elijah on your life. Bus captain, come and ask the Lord that you want His power on your life. As we sing, "All to Jesus I surrender." Come on right now.
All to Jesus I surrender.
If the Lord has put a hunger in your heart for the power of the Lord God of Elijah in your life and on your ministry, you're at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Just come on and talk to Him.
In His presence daily live, I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed.
You don't have an answer to that need? Come on. God has an answer to that need. Come on. Tell the Lord about it right now. Say, "Lord, I have to have your help. I must have your help. I can't go on like this."
Surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all.
That's the key. You'll turn everything over to the Lord. Seek His help, His power. You get the job done for God. And He'll help you with the problems you face in life. Just sing one more verse, Brother Gary. Sing one more verse. We'll stay all day if you want to stay. One more verse.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all.
Just keep playing softly. Just keep playing softly.
All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Oh, if you didn't come forward, God's the answer. The Lord God of Elijah can help you. You're going to need his help. If you're his child, you can cry out to God, and he'll hear you and help you some way. I don't know how he's going to help you, but he knows a thousand ways to make a way for his children. Come over here and pray for this lady, would you, one of y'all? She got a burden. She's saved, but just got a burden. Both of them just come pray for her. A lot of people have burdens, but we know the burden bearer, don't we? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wait, just take that burden to the Lord now. Take that burden to the Lord. Brother Gary, let's just sing God. You know how to sing God is still on the throne and he cares for his own. God is still on the throne and he cares for his own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. Thank you for letting this old preacher come back and preach today. I'd have paid you to let me come today. Hey, I'm behind the church and behind Brother Joey. Any way I can help him, I will ever help you.
Well, we need the God of Elijah, don't we? I think often in our Christian life, we get pretty satisfied with living without God, without his presence, without his power. And I hope that you go away this morning with a new hunger in your heart to know God. To know God. A personal relationship experience with God. That's what we need. That's what we need. Well, let me also give you one other prayer request. Forgot to mention earlier, Teresa Susong. Having surgery tomorrow in Nashville to remove the cancer. They're pretty confident they can get it all. They're going to take the cancer out and all the lymph nodes, thank you, on this side of her neck. And that is tomorrow morning. It'll be 8:30 our time, 7:30 Nashville time. So she's asked our church to pray. And so you'd be praying for her. Also, Brother Tim Tipton, Clifford Page, our folks in Chile. Remember all, I know it's a lot of prayer requests, but let's be praying for these folks. And I'll tell you what, Brother Steve, if you wouldn't mind to stand and to close us in prayer, and as the Lord leads, remember these folks. If you are a visitor for the first time today, you bring your visitor card by the Welcome Center. We'll greet you there and have a gift for you. Lord bless you.